Let's get into the word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We ask for a few minutes that you would just show these my family, Lord, this beautiful family, what it is to go and make disciples.
Yes.
Lord, you told me to preach, and I'm not going to stop preaching until you tell me to stop preaching to God, because I know that you said there'll be fruit.
Yes.
In the disciples here. There'll be a fruit in the disciples' lives. So, God, according to your word, according to your glory, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight and the sight of the family. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You see over here in chapter 15 that Jesus has now started talking about branches and vines. And when the vine is healthy and it's on the when the vine is healthy and the branch is on the vine and it's doing what it should do, it's going to produce fruit. Godly fruit. Now that branch cannot produce godly fruit on its own. You may notice in your yard when you go out there, there are sticks that have been blown off the tree, or you cut them off the tree, you soon notice that they die. The leaves are thin, they turn brown, they crimp up, and they're no longer good. You might as well take that, if you got a fireplace, and put it in the fireplace. This last juice is burning up. It's finished. Oh, but many of us don't have the fireplace anymore. We'll wrap it up and put it in a bag. And you know where that bag ends up? It ends up in a dump. It's still finished. But God says, when you attach yourself to his vine, God is the vine dresser. Jesus Christ is the vine. We are what hangs on the vine. And for us to be fruitful, for us to be good disciples of Jesus Christ, he's teaching his disciples how to be good disciples of Jesus Christ. They're disciples. There's all kinds of disciples, guys. Don't get me wrong. The devil's got his disciples. Mao Zedong got his disciples. Hitler's got his disciples. Barack Obama's got his disciples. What's his name? I don't get now. The president, what's his name? Trump, he's got his disciples. I am neither an elephant or what's the other one?
A donkey.
I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep for the Lord.
Amen.
Don't give me that foolishness.
Yes.
I don't hang myself on anybody's vine, but this vine called Jesus. Just like it says in the book of Timothy. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you, I pray that the Lord give you understanding in all things. We got to change. Young man supposed to graduate. Breaks my heart. Seven people shot overnight and eight. One's going to the morgue. Guess what? I got a secret to tell you. Kill each other.
Oh, Jesus.
We have to get serious about what the devil is doing. If we don't get serious in counteracting what the devil is doing, it's only going to continue to get worse and worse. I'm not trying to discourage you, but the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. And here we are to be a bridge over somebody's troubled water. Here we are. God has left us to be a tentacle for you so somebody might see the way. What's going to happen? Men are just going to get cold and wax cold. No, they're going to go to church. They're going to go to church. They're going to run around. Jump up and down. But this ministry it wants to be on the vine, a branch on the vine that produces fruit. Much fruit. Look at verse 8. It said, "Herein is my Father glorified." I could stop there and just do about a 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 part message. Herein is my Father. What?
Glorified.
Who's being glorified?
Father.
So it's not about. I'm saying it's not about
me.
You might get mad with me. I know how to clear out a church. Trust me. All I got to do is preach this gospel. I know how to not go back to a church. All I got to do is preach this gospel. I know what offends folks, and I know what happens to folks who don't stay with me, because they will say, "You hear what he said?" I got news for you. I'm just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that he came not to make peace. He came to be a, he brought a sword. The sword is going to be between a man and his wife. The sword is going to be between a mother and a daughter. The sword is going to be between a daughter and a mother, a brother and his son, and his father. And he come to make peace. Not the kind of peace that the world has. Peace that he wants to have is the peace that passes all understanding. That when you get it, that when you understand it, you know that you're on the vine, and apart from the vine, you cannot do nothing. Apart from the vine, it may look good. Don't get me wrong. That thing that fell off the vine, it may look good. It may be big. It might got a great big old choir. It might got a whole bunch of glittering. It might got a whole bunch of going on. But let me tell you something. This Bible says, if it's not on the vine. Don't believe that? You may not know I can. Look at verse 6. He says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast off as a branch." And what happens?
Wither.
And then what happens?
And
then what happens?
And
then what happens? People are spending their whole lives end up burned. I thought you were teaching to make disciples. All I'm saying is this. If we do it the Lord's way, when we fill it up, when he allows us to fill it up, when the fruit starts coming, it may be in the seed, it may just be in the world, producing other fruit. God has a sweet, sweet way of when you do it his way. But when you do it his way, and he produces his way, There'll be an authentic church that'll be raised up. I'm not saying it's the only one. I'm not going to get the Elijah syndrome when the Lord tells me, "I got 7,000 more just like you, boy. Stop whining. Get out there and do what I told you to do." So just like Elijah, has to tell us what the word says. The word says that we don't abide on the branch. We can go out and do hot dogs and moon bounces. We can trick them into coming. We can tell them we got a food pantry. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But we want disciples that make other disciples. We want at the end of the day, our goal is that men and women be saved. Can you imagine building something as glorious as some of the things that can be built, and at the end of the day it's just cast in the fire? Don't you tell me it's not going to happen. It's going to happen to some. Why do I say that? Because we're being taught that that's what happens.
Right. Exactly.
And you can just stumble through here and act like Pastor ain't said nothing to nobody, and not about me. Or where I'm going to go next, because I'm tired of hearing that nonsense. Got to preach the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Or you'll find yourself a branch that has been disconnected from the vine. This thing that I want to talk about just for a few more minutes today is... We were looking at three simple principles. We looked at what is a disciple. We started looking at what is a disciple. We started looking at how disciples are made. And then we wanted to look at what kinds of disciple makings are there. And we found out last week that one thing that you had to do was to deny yourself. Now, I asked y'all to go home and do some exercise. I see some folks didn't come back and say, it's okay. It's okay. They said, maybe they did the exercise. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying for them that they come. Mm-hmm. But I see you here. I love you. Mm-hmm. Did you do the exercise? Mm-hmm. Oh, what was it? Not. My will, but
thy will
be done in me. Did you do it? Did you spend some time with it? Because if you did, then you're ready for this next part, because I see your passion. You might want to sell it to me. Amen? Because Jesus... We have to deny ourselves and follow him. It's a loyalty that we give to him. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. We have to live in our new light and not our old light. We have to turn over our will and his will now be done. The two don't coexist together. It's not that he doesn't want you to have things. He does. It's not that he doesn't want you to enjoy life and have life more abundantly. Oh, he would not have put it in there. So don't let the people tell you lies. But it's a call not to be living a life of hedonism. Oh, yes, I teach your word too every now and then. Hedonism. Look at us. It's a life where all you do is think about you. Everything is pleasurable for you. Everything is what you want to do. It's always got to be.
About you.
The Greeks used to live that way. I always wonder why so many of the schools these days. They're so into Greek. Look it up. There you go. It might not seem like it when you get in it, or even while you're going through it. But we do a lot of things that we don't even know why the heck. Why we do it. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to reveal something to you. We never think about it critically. What it is. People walking around with Mao Zedong on their chest. Do you know who he is? Young people, look it up before you go get it stenciled on you for the rest of your life. Do you know who Che Guevara is? Look it up before you go get it stenciled on you. Or maybe it's just not stenciled on someone. Wear it on your hat. Someone got it on the back and on the front. And then put an exclamation point on it. I'm like, do you know who that is? Well, let me do a little Greek. Disciple. It means to be a learner. If you're going to be a disciple of somebody, they know. If you're going to be a disciple of somebody, then you at least ought to learn about them. You may find out that that's not who you want to be.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
you might find out that, like some I've talked to, really?
That one he didn't take. Murder, this one down there.
He didn't care much for black folks here.
Go read it. Here it is in the book. Read it. It's a shame. It's a shame. But when you are a disciple of something, and you would think that you become a disciple of something if you wear its number, if you wear its hat, if you got stenciled all over you, you would think you would have learned something about it. But it means to learn about it, to be a disciple, to deny yourself, and to learn about what it is you're following, and become a follower of that which you are following, and then go and make other followers. You got to deny yourself to do that for Christ. He will make you.
Amen.
What's the caveat? He will make you fruitful. Much fruit. I like number 7. It says to me, it says if you really become a follower of him, if you really get on that vine and start liking it real good, you'll start showing up to this, that, the other. When the pastor calls, you won't hide. When the pastor calls, you'll come. When as a matter of fact, you'll start looking for things to do, and you'll start looking for ways to push this thing forward. It says here, I don't even have to do that. All it says, if you abide in me, and my word, verse 7, abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Unto you.
Jesus.
Now, don't keep in mind that none of you can't approach this verse with your own will.
Right.
See, a lot of people approach this verse with their own will, then they get mad with God. Because they don't get the caddy. You know, because they don't get the beamer. Get mad with God because the thing don't work out that, you know, I meant to get that promotion and somebody else got it. But when it's God's way, when it's God's will, no man can close the door that he opens. You walk through it and you close that thing behind it, and nobody can open that door that God closed behind you. And you don't have to keep looking back. You can just press. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh my God. Folks always can't go to sleep. Folks always looking back. Folks worried about who coming up on me. I could care less who's coming up on me. I got grace and mercy that's protecting me. I got an angel carrying all.
That's why.
Mr. Teacher, I'm pitiful. Not because of me. Not because of me. You get up into that place where you touch not my prophet, anointing, nor do my prophet. You get up in there and see what God will do. Watch your enemy start to bow down before you. Watch it just start working out when you thought it wasn't going to work out. You better just get ready to give up yourself and allow that. Got you.
Hallelujah.
Then get back out there.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to do like show you.
Yes, Lord.
I'm talking about a God that says he'll come through for you.
Yes.
Number 2. That was kind of catchy up last week. Number 2, you have to start to hate sin. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this slow. Hate sin and love holiness. Oh, yeah, some folks there might be crawling right now. You got your stuff you got to do. Okay. You got to start to hate sin. Sin causes a stain on your life. Sin causes a void that separates you from God. Sin causes a thing that God doesn't like. He can't even stand to look on it. It causes a separation between you and God. Show us, Pastor. I'm going to just ask you. 59 Isaiah. Come on. Let's go. Y'all know, you know you get taught here. Amen? Amen. We just don't talk it. We show you. And I pray you go out and live it. Amen. It should be changing. Should cause you. So, are you there? Isaiah 59. Start at verse 1. The word of God says, first it says, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm listening, Pastor.
I'm listening, Pastor.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he what?
Will not hear.
You have to start to hate sin in any form. But don't start just wagging your finger and your tongue at other people. He's talking about you. Oh, folks, you should sing a song. Get right with God.
Do it.
And do it now. Get right with God. He will show you how. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
You gotta get right with God.
That's right. Amen.
I know this message is not for everybody, because some folks still want to hold on to this stuff. I understand. Every time I open my mouth up here, I preach it so that I pray you come back. But I fully expect sometimes I come back on next Sunday, everybody be gone. That's what I got to do. It's not about that.
Wow.
Tell me.
Okay.
Church, he went out, answer a bunch of dogs. You tell me, Isaiah, I'm worried about what the, he's going to keep his head on his shoulders, keep running up there in front of them kings, telling him what the Lord said. Every time he walked up there, he could have got his head in the chalice. Don't you tell me Elijah was worried about, you know, the people who were going to come and listen to him.
That's right.
Don't you tell me, Elijah. Don't you tell me that he was worried about David.
Mm-hmm.
That man is you, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that the next third thing he said was his head could have been in a silver platter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins separate you from God, and he will not hear you. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. It makes me do this. I'm sorry, I'm helping you, Holy. He's healing you, praying, isn't he? Is he healing you?
healing you?
Has he healed you?
Is he growing you?
Yes, Lord.
Is he doing something for you right now?
Yes,
then give him some glory. Have something for him. I don't even understand it anymore. But you know, I remember. I didn't have to remind myself, y'all. Don't get too weird. You know you were just. You know you sitting up there looking just like. All you want is my money. You know I preach wrong. All they got is a big daddy in you. I know some have given me some a damaged heart. I know some Christians have damaged people to a point where they thought God is about Jesus. It's about the Savior of the world. It's not about me. It's not about what I say. It's about this gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I'm telling it to you just like you're reading it, if this thing is agreeing into your heart, if this thing is convicting your heart,
yes.
You ought to do something. You ought to go and
make
disciples. But your sins, you understand? I'm not calling you a sinner. I wouldn't do that. But the Bible says, check yourself.
Why?
See if God is hearing you.
Why?
I know what happens when God hears you. I ain't bragging on me. I ain't bragging on anything that I got or don't have, will have, or won't get, or he's going to take from me or show me. Because when he shows you something, when he starts to give you something, and next thing you know, he gets out, he says, there those shears over there. No, the other one. The other one, Charles Bridge, he's holding on. I mean, his shears, the one. And then when you start going to go get his shears, he slips you again. His way. Why? The Bible says why. I'm glad you asked that. Why? Because he prunes you back so that you can bear even more fruit.
Yes.
Anybody walking in this word? Anybody walking in this word? I know what it feels like when you just got just think you got it rolling, just then. And then I go with my Bible. I'm going to do something wrong. Again. I found out that I was supposed to be snipped again. And I found out I'm going to be snipped again. I found out that it is the way of the cross to keep getting pruned until I see Jesus. I don't want to go up there with not one of that prune that I'm supposed to have.
Why?
But prune me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Somebody else say, fix me, Jesus. Like you said. Don't go stepping up into his glory and you ain't fixed.
Fix me.
Sorry. Lord have a sense of humor. I remember sitting in a concert one day and we were living in Hezekiah Walker. I had to put up my raincoat, right? Because he was spraying all across about four rows back, right? That's why I set y'all back this one. I'm telling y'all about laughing at people. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Be careful who you laugh. Next thing you know, you have people four rows back. God, that's sweet. Let's see if we can look at a few more passages. It separates you. It's a horrible consequence, this separation, amen?
Amen.
From God. Let's go back to Isaiah 6.
Just stay here for a minute. For a minute. You know, we're talking about now the damnation of one's soul. First you understand that you're saved, okay? That's the point.
Okay.
I'm not here to steal your salvation. God's not going to take your salvation. But your sins do what? Separate you. Saved folk can still be wilding in some stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, you can thank the Lord that he don't take nobody's salvation. He's still going to present you flawless, presence of his glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
come on. He's not going to let you
in
the world. But why? He go.
Yes, Lord.
Now, to them who never said Jesus was the answer in my heart and for the world today.
Yes.
There's this thing called damnation. Where your soul will be destroyed. What did I say, Isaiah 6?
Yes.
Look at verses 3. Let's start there. You better say amen.
Yes. Amen.
And it says, and one cried, and one of the serpents and the serpents, you know, they were flying around there. They were giving him glory. Y'all start flying around here and giving God some glory. And I said, let me tell you, give God glory. You just be running around here. I should never tell Karen that he's running around here for you. Now, you ought to give God glory.
Yeah.
One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of her hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Amen.
What does that mean? He is so holy. He is so holy that he cannot stand to be his mouth sin. You didn't know you could work your way up and get a sermon. We had a great Bible study the other night. He's so holy that he can't be around it. He won't be around it. He don't have to tolerate it. But still, he made a way. Don't know how he did it, but he did. He stepped out of his glory. Stepped out of his holy. 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 Because he still wanted us to be with him. And he stepped out of it. And he made a way. He made a bridge. And he sacrificed his life so that we might be free. And there's still some people who won't choose him. Won't be disciples. And for them, my friends, I'm sorry to tell you that their end is going to be damnation. Because he is a righteous and holy God. God upon will cast out a sinner. He's going to cast judgment upon those people who sin, who do not know his son. They are going to be in a whole different category. That's why we're still here. He saved you. You are free from that damnation. You are free from that kind of separation, that eternal separation. Only thing now, you made your prayer life ineffective. You made your life ineffective. If you don't deal with your inequities, amen. But these people here that don't realize that God is holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
And never reach out to him. Their end is total separation. They will be cast out of his presence into a lake of fire. They'll be tormented for all their days. You ought to go tell somebody. Stop worrying about what they tell you.
That's right.
Somebody was brave enough to get up in your face. Somebody was brave enough to pray for you. Somebody was brave enough and took the time to pray for you. Somebody looked at you when you were looking at them like, I wish you would shut up. Come on, somebody. Keep it real with me. You know I try to keep it real. Right?
Right.
Well, I don't go to church. Look at your case. I don't believe that. Look at you now.
spirit. Look at you. Now, somebody took the licks. You probably remember who it was. You remember when you get the glory. Sinners are going to be cast out of his presence. Therefore, God hates anything that separates us from his perfect love. Amen.
Amen.
The standard of holiness. God hates him because he is holy. But I see I'm not even going to get to the next section today. We're just going to take our time.
That's good.
Yeah.
He hates sin because it takes so many forms. It takes so many forms. It can be as blatant as, oh yeah, we don't have no problem, you know. Disgusting when we talk about rape and murder. Do it. It can be as passionate though, guys, listen to me. It's just not doing the right thing. It separates you from your God. And here's the thing. I think it's just about you, amen. Did I miss nothing? Other people suffer. Other people are affected. And we sometimes even say that love. That over here. The world has a way of calling it love. Go to Romans 9. So the world will ride up in there and tell you that you're loving them. When the Lord says, not only do you not love them, you are you hate him. You understand?
Yes.
How different it is from the world and what God is telling you and asking you to be when he goes, go and make disciples. I ain't even got into I'm sorry. You know, I know I told you all about we was going to get into how disciples are made and what kind of disciples making are there. But I why go into all that unless we find out what a disciple is really? Might be out there whacking the weeds in there and you're doing nothing. Romans 9, 4 says this. I love this piece of passage.
Yes.
14, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God is
forbid.
Listen, guys, God is holy. There is not any unrighteousness in him. Our sins take on different forms. They can be as passive as they don't. And see, this is what happens. They get so passive in us that we don't even call them sin anymore. And now the devil's gotten so bold with his stuff, he don't care. You know it's sin. And now they're bragging about it. You tell me that they're not bragging about it. Sin changes lies into truth. And vice versa. Cheating is called what? Helping yourself. Not really cheating, I was just trying to help. Homosexuality is called what? Gay. Gay. It's an abomination for the Lord. Gay is called an alternative
lifestyle.
Abortion. Come on, somebody. It's called what? Right to what?
Right to
choose.
Right to choose.
God is righteous. God will punish the sinner.
choose you today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that not seem right in you to choose God?
Mm-hmm.
Choose you today when you will serve.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
God, these people, mm-hmm. in the land where you now live,
mm-hmm.
Lord God, where other people in other lands live, they do the thing. People ain't never been in there, never been to here, ooh, here, India. Don't know about Buddha. Buddha who?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I never been to Israel, Pastor. But the witness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The writing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God will punish him. See, if he did not, he will be approving of that which is contrary to his holiness. Mm-hmm. Understand. To go and make real disciples, we have to get on the same page with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he will build up a mighty and a true church in you.
Amen.
Amen.
And you will bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Say it like you mean it.
Much fruit.
Much fruit.
God cannot misrepresent the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He will not misrepresent the truth. He hates sin because it's contrary to his perfect and holy nature. It's impossible for him to do anything wrong. He will not cheat you out what you deserve.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He will not misrepresent mm-hmm. himself.
That's right.
God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy. And today, my friends,
mm-hmm.
remember this, he says, in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now go home today, go home this week, learn to hate sin. Your heavenly Father, learn, pray, ask him to help him to learn to love. Hold it. It's not jail. It's a blessed assurance.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk, when you talk,
mm-hmm.
and you live in the report of the Lord, many people are perishing and they need you today to hear this message. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I will give you part 3, but you can't do that right now. Will you meditate on this?
Yes.
Come back in next week and we'll get on with the next part.
Mm-hmm.
The next part kind of hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not finished with you. That's good news. He's not finished with you. We must all grow. Amen.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. Just say, Lord, I'm willing to
grow
and make disciples. Let's give God a hand.